We do want to turn our attention for just a moment to a brief passage in the Lord's Word, and then we're going to celebrate our time around the Lord's table together here. I have a question. How would you respond if God actually called you? I mean, like, on your phone. I don't know how many of you have seen the show. I haven't seen it yet, but I've seen the advertisements for it, but there's a new show that came out. It's called God Friended Me. I haven't seen the show. I don't know, but I did see, at least in the commercials, that apparently there's this radio personality, and he has some kind of a show, and suddenly on his phone, you know, his Facebook app came up, and he had a friend request from God. Now, again, I don't know what happens in the show, but I have to say the premise I thought was kind of cool. What would happen if you had a friend request from God? Well, in Genesis 28, that's kind of what happened to Jacob. And I'm not going to take the time to read the entire passage. I think many of us know what it is. But in Genesis 28, we find Jacob at a particularly critical time in his life. Some of us are aware that Jacob was a bit of a scoundrel. He lied and cheated to get the birthright from Esau. And while we believe that there was a reason why God wanted that birthright to come through Jacob, nonetheless, Jacob's actions at that time were not the actions we want to hold up as the ideal of good behavior. But one of the ways in which God got Jacob's attention was by using that moment in a very special way in his life. For when the time came and Jacob received from Isaac the birthright and the blessing, Jacob's brother Esau was very, very upset that it had been essentially stolen from him in his mind, even though much earlier he had, in a moment of weakness, sold it to his brother for lunch that his brother had made. So Esau is out to get Jacob. Jacob is fleeing, quite literally, for his life, and he stops at a place for the evening to rest. And this is what we read in Genesis 28. And Jacob left Beersheba and went toward Haran, and he came to a certain place and stayed there that night because the sun had set. And taking one of the stones of the place, he put it under his head and lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed, and behold, there was a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am Jehovah, the God of Abraham your father, the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie, I will give you and your offspring. Your offspring shall be like the dust of the earth, and you shall spread abroad to the west and the east and to the north and the south. And in you, your offspring, shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Behold, I am with you and will keep you wherever you go and will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave until I have done what I have promised you. Then Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. And he was afraid. How awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of the Lord. A lot of people have wrestled with what was going on there, this ladder going to heaven, the true version of a stairway to heaven, and what it might have meant. But I want to suggest to you that what it really meant was quite simple. It meant that God was in contact with Jacob. This is an age before cell phones. This is an age before any kind of what we think of as normal communication across space. They didn't have a postal system. In fact, the main way that you communicated was by sending a messenger. You sent a personal emissary. You sent an ambassador, someone who came from you to another person, and they spoke on your behalf, and then they would take a message back. That's how people, at the time we're talking about, managed communication over distance, communication over space. When we see this image of suddenly a stairway that goes from the earth to the heaven, and on it are angels, what we're really seeing is messengers. These are the people who God used to send his messages. The most famous, of course, is when Gabriel appears to Mary and announces to her that Jesus is coming through her. Those special, personal envoys, those ambassadors, those messengers. So when we see this ladder connecting earth to heaven and we see the angels going up and down, what we are really seeing is an image that Jacob would have understood in his time of communication happening over a distance. And the communication is between God and the earth. And in fact, as Jacob is there dreaming, what he is really beginning to realize is that God is communicating with him personally. And an amazing thing that unfolds, the blessing that was given to Abraham, the blessing that God would raise up a people, and through that people he would bring his blessing, not just to them, but to the entire earth. The promise that comes through Abraham and Isaac, and yes, through Jacob, of a Messiah, of a Savior, a Redeemer that would reconcile people to himself. It came that day to Jacob as he slept and had this vision of God communicating with him. In a very real way, on that day, God called, God Facebooked, God friended Jacob and said, the covenant, the blessing is now with you. And Jacob woke up and he was terrified. And he said, surely God is in this place. This is the house of God. And he called it Bethel. We understand and are thankful for the fact that in the age in which we live, following Christ's work on Calvary and the coming of the Holy Spirit, that Spirit now indwells every one of us who have come to know Jesus Christ as our Savior. That work of the Redeemer, that work to reconcile us to God, was completed in Jesus Christ. And in that, we have direct communication now. Hebrews reminds us that we now can come boldly into the presence of God because we have that Spirit within us. But at the same time, Hebrew also reminds us that there's something that we never give up because of this communication we have with God. We never give up the gathering together of the people of God, the gathering together of the body of Christ. We don't forsake getting together, and for a lot of purposes. The disciples talked about gathering to encourage one another in the disciples' teaching and doctrine, and to encourage one another in prayer, and to share together the meal of the Lord's table. And Hebrews reminds us that we are to spur one another on, challenge one another to love and good works for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we do that when we gather together. So people ask me a lot of times, you know, Pastor, what do you want the church to be, this place we gather and these experiences we have? And it's really very simple. I want this to play a place where as people walk in and as people experience what goes on here and as people come to know what the testimony or the reputation of this organization is in this community, as people drive down the street and see the sign and the name, what I hope people will always sense is that this is a place where God is present and God is working. Not just inside these walls, but inside the hearts and the people that inhabit these walls. And that as we are the church, the people of God together, we also come together and encourage and share and challenge and support and send one another out to the ends of the earth. And that all of that happens because we are the church. And in the way that we understand it, this is the house of God. That's what we do every week. We come to meet God, and he comes to meet us. We come to encourage one another and to be encouraged. We come to remember. We come to commit. We come to learn and prepare. And we come to be sent on the mission that God has given us. And I pray that today and always, this will be the house of God, the meeting place of his church, and the sending place of his mission, his missionaries, his emissaries, his ambassadors, to communicate with all the world around us. Because as God meets us here, he uses us to meet others everywhere we go. We are the church. We are Washington Heights. And this is the house of God. Will you join me as we pray? Father, we are so thankful for this place. We are so thankful for a physical location that allows us to concretely know who we are, what we believe, a place where we can be encouraged and strengthened, a place we can sometimes be challenged, a place we can be trained, and a place from which we can be sent. As we gather in just a few moments and remember Christ, through the elements that he gave us in the ceremony we call the Lord's table, in our time of fellowship and communion, we pray that, first of all, we will be thankful for this place which has stood as an image of what it means to be the church in this community, this place which has gathered people now for over 60 years and shared with them the hope of Jesus Christ, this place which has trained up children and helped usher others beyond this life, this place from which numerous missionary families have been sent and others have gone into full-time service, this place from which thousands have been encouraged to go into their workplace or their family place or their neighborhood and live as the presence of Christ in this community. From this place, Lord, we thank you and ask you to continue to have your church be present. And we do it in Jesus' name. Amen.